morning. Welcome back after a vacation. We are on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, in the Ein Yaakov Mavar on page Kuftet, paragraph Samech Vav in the Ein Yaakov Mavar. L'marbe hamisra ul shalom ein ketz. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Upon the one with greatness and dominion and boundless peace. The Gomer, etc. Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum said, Darash bar kapara b'tzipori. Par kapara taught in Sipori. Mipnei ma kol mem shiva emtsa tiva ptucha v'zos tuma. Why is every mem in the middle of the word open? If you look at the beginning of this line, at the letter mem, you see it has a little opening on the bottom, so that's called a mem ptucha. V'zos tuma. And here, the mem at the beginning of the word marbe is what we call a final mem. In the Gemara, it's called a closed mem, because it's completely closed. So if you look in a Tanakh, this word, l'marbe, has a what we call a final mem in the middle of the word. It's the only place in all of Tanakh where there is a final letter in the middle of a word. There's also one place in the Tanakh where there's an open mem at the end of a word, and that's in Nehemiah, where it's talking about the walls of Yerushalayim, and that will come up in our discussion. But generally, final letters go at the end of the word, and regular letters go everywhere else. And here, there's a final letter in the middle of the word, l'marbe. Why is that? Gemara says, "Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasot Chizkiyahu Mashiach v'Sancheirev Gog u'Magog." HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancheirev Gog u'Magog. Let's stop right there and find out who Chizkiyahu was. I photocopied two graphics that I have onto this page for a lesson in Jewish history. If you look at the very top of the page, you see a quote from Gemara in our perek that we will discuss later, much later. Tana de Be'eliyahu, Sheshet Alefim Shana Havi Alma. The world is 6,000 years. Shnei Alefim Tohu, the first 2,000 years is emptiness or confusion. Shnei Alefim Torah, the middle 2,000 years is Torah, and Shnei Alfim Yomot Mashiach, and the last 2,000 years is the days of Mashiach. So you see three rows beneath that. The top row is the first 2,000 years of history. The second row is the middle 2,000 years of history. And the third row is most of the third 2,000 years. So in the first 2,000 years, we have 10 generations from Adam until Noach. Noach was born in the year 1056 from creation. So that's approximately the first 1,000 years is the 10 generations from Adam to Noach. Then the next 1,000 years from Noach until Avram Avinu was 52 years old. You see at the far left of the first row, in the year 1996 was Migdal Bavel. Avram was born in the year 1948, a little before that. When we read the Chumash, we don't realize that Avram was already around the time of Migdal Bavel, and Avram knew Noach. In the second row, we have the middle 2,000 years. Kedas Yitzchak is in the year 2085. They have the Jews in Mitzrayim after that, then 40 years in the desert. They come into Israel in the year 2488. Yitzias Mitzrayim and giving the Torah is the red box that says 2448, and then 40 years later, they came into Israel. Then there's the period of the Shoftim, followed by the period of the kings. And you see that I've drawn lines expanding the period of the kings and the period after that to the bottom half of the page. We'll get to that. Okay, but you have the period of the kings, which corresponds pretty much to the period of the first Beis HaMikdash. And then you have, and you see at the beginning of the period of the kings, where the shade of green changes, you see Shmuel underneath. And then where the shade of green changes again, you see Yirmiyahu, the prophet Yirmiyahu. He's the one who wrote Eicha that we read on Tisha B'Av. Okay. Then you have the 70 years of exile. If you look, there's a gray line where it says Bais Rishon and another gray line where it says Bais Sheni. And there's a space between them. That space between them is the 70 years of the Babylonian and Persian exile. That's when Daniel, that we talked so much about, was. That's when the miracle of Purim happened, Mordechai and Esther, all of that is in that period. After that is the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who the people who established our davening Shemoneh Esrei and the halacha to read the Torah regularly and so on. Okay, so much of what we're familiar with comes from that period, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and that's the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. After that comes the period of the Tanaim, the sages of the Mishnah. You see at the end where the green changes to blue is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and the last gray box on the second row says the conclusion of the Mishnah in the year 3948 from creation. So that's pretty much the end of the 4,000 years, or the 2,000 years of Torah. So the 2,000 years of Torah go basically from the early lifetime of Avraham Avinu until just after the conclusion of the Mishnah. If you look the box to the right of the one that's the second one from the left on the second row, it says Tchilat Hasfira Halazit, the beginning of the Common Era. So that would be the year one of the Common Era, 2018 years ago. Okay. And just to the right of that, there's a red box that says Nes Hanukkah, the Hanukkah miracle. And the other box, red box to the right of it, says Nes Purim, the Purim miracle. So that gives you an idea where those were. We're going to come back to the period of the kings shortly. Okay. On the third row, starting from the year 4000, you have the period of the Amoraim, the sages of the Gemara. And you see in the year 4128 from creation is when the Talmud Yerushalmi was finished. And then the year 4260 is when the Talmud Bavli was finished. After that, the darker blue, we have 189 years called the Rabbanan Savorai. And those were sages we know very little about, but they did the final editing of the Gemara. And that's their main contribution that we're aware of, as well as continuing to pass down oral traditions that were not written in the Gemara. Then after that, for 351 years, is the period of the Gaonim. We've mentioned Rav Hai Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon. They all lived in that period. And the word Gaon refers to the Rosh Yeshiva of Bavel. Today the word Gaon means genius. But in those days, the word Gaon was the title that was given to the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. And Bavel was still the center of Judaism in that time. You see the very end of the Gaonim, Rav Hai Gaon. He was the last Gaon. He died in the year 1038 of the Common Era, to put it in perspective. Then starts the period of the Rishonim. And you see Rashi. If you look under the purple section, you see Rashi, Rambam, Rosh. That puts them in context. Rashi was born in the year 1040 of the Common Era, died in 1105. Rambam was born in approximately 1135, died in 1204. So that gives you an idea of where that is. And that goes until the year 5252 of the Jewish calendar, which is 1492 of the Common Era, which is the exile of the Jews from Spain, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. In 1492, and right around there is where Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, was born. He was born in 1488 in Spain and was exiled when he was 4 years old from Spain. The Abarbanel that we've mentioned so many times is also in that period. He was one of the leaders of the generation that was expelled from Spain. He died in 1508. And that starts the period that we call the Achronim, and this chart goes up until the Holocaust in the year 5700 or 1940. So that is a very high-level overview of Jewish history. Now, you see that I expanded out the middle period of the kings in the first Beis HaMikdash. So if you look in the bottom half of the page, there are four parallel rows. The top row shows you which Nevi'im, which prophets, were alive at a particular time. The middle row shows you who the kings of Yehuda were, or the first two kings were David and Shlomo. Well, there was Shaul, who was not from the family of Yehuda. The first two kings from the tribe of Yehuda were David and Shlomo. When Shlomo died, the kingdom split into the 10 northern tribes and the two southern tribes. So the two southern tribes are called Yehuda, and the 10 northern tribes are called Israel. And so you see the second row is the kings of Yehuda, the third row is the kings of Israel. Chizkiah, who our Gemara mentions, is right in the middle of the middle row. Malcha Yehuda, if you look under the year 3200, if you look down, you see Chizkiyahu. And he died in the year 3227, and after ruling for 29 years. That's what that notation means. The row below that is the kings of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and you'll notice that the last one is in the days of Chizkiyahu. And that's because if you look further down, you see in the blue section, historical events that happened in each period, and there are three boxes there. The first, top one says 3186, exile of the tribes of Zvulun and Naphtali. In 3194, exile of Gad, Reuven, and half of Manasseh. And in 3204, the exile of the rest of the tribes. All of that happened, the exile of the 10 northern tribes happened during the reign of Chizkiyahu. And that is significant for our Gemara. And you see also in the last box, it says 3204, it says Mapelet Sancheirav, the downfall of Sancheirav. Sancheirav was a king of Assyria, of Ashur. And you see our Gemara says, Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancheirav Gogu Mogo. So Hashem wanted to make that, according to the simple reading, the end of days, right there. And our Gemara will explain why it didn't happen that way, but this puts it in historical context. Gog and Magog is going to come up more later in the Gemara, and we're going to reserve discussion of Gog and Magog for then, for the most part, but not today, and not this week. After Chizkiyahu, the kings of Yehuda continue, Menashe, Amon, Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is the one we talk about a lot on Tisha B'Av. And then with his children, the kingdom ended and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And you see in the bottom, the year 3338, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the end of the Beis HaMikdash, the beginning of the 70 years of Bavel. And then after that, in 3405, you see the miracle of Purim. 3408, the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So 3 years after Megillas Esther ends, the second Beis HaMikdash is built. Only 5 years, what?
Be 2 years, because Megillas Esther is 1 year after.
Okay. Only 5 years later, another thing we think when we're growing up until we actually learn Tanakh is that Ezra built and Nehemiah built the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's not what happened. 5 years later, Ezra came up to Israel, and 13 years after that, Nehemiah came up to Israel. There is reason to understand that wasn't the first time they came up, but the famous Aliyah of Ezra, when he brought up people from Bavel, was 5 years after the Beis HaMikdash was built, and Nehemiah, who we've talked about in this year also, only came up 13 years after that. And finally, in the year 3448, Nevuah ends, the end of the period of prophecy. So our Gemara is saying, seemingly, that Hashem wanted Chizkiyahu to be Mashiach and Sancheirav to be Gog u'Magog. So right then, about halfway through the first Beis HaMikdash, a little more than halfway through the first Beis HaMikdash, Hashem wanted that to be the end of history, Mashiach to come. We'll see other interpretations, but that's the simple interpretation of this Gemara. So back in the Gemara, on the last line of page Kuftet, Amra Midat Hadin. Midat Hadin said, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of justice said before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shamar Kama Shirot Tishbachot Lufanecha. David, the king of Israel, said many songs and praises in front of you. V'lo Mashiach, you didn't make him Mashiach. Chizkiyah, shasita lo kol ha'nisim alalu. Chizkiyah, for whom you did so many miracles. We'll have to see what those miracles were. And he did not say Shira Taseu Mashiach. You're going to make him Mashiach. So what were the miracles? So if you look in Rashi on page Kofiod, Kol anisim alalu shenitzal misancherev. He was saved from Sancherev. V'nitrape micholyo. And he recovered from his illness. We'll talk more about those events. Now, right now, we could stop and ask. Today, we're just going to ask a lot of questions. I'm not going to answer any of them. So, first question is, what does it mean that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach? Does it mean the Mashiach we're waiting for? Chizkiah would have been him, and that would have been the end of our history, the beginning of the days of Mashiach that we look forward to? Or does it mean something else? That's one question. Second, the Midas Adin is saying, David sang so many songs and you didn't make him Mashiach. Chizkiah didn't sing and you want to make him Mashiach? Why didn't Chizkiah sing? Another question. And what does singing have to do with being Mashiach? And if singing is a qualification for Mashiach, why wasn't David Mashiach? Nobody sang more than David did. Lechach nistatem. Gemara continues on the fourth line. Lechach nistatem. Therefore, it was closed. The mem of the word lemarbe is closed to allude to this event that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach, and the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, vetoed it, so to speak. Look back on page Kuftet. Look at Rashi. Mem shebetivat lemarbe hamisra satum. The mem in the word lemarbe, in the expression lemarbe hamisra, upon the one with greatness and dominion, satum, it's a closed mem. Lechach nistam, this is why it's closed. Lomar nistemu hadvarim shalu machshava lo nasu. Hashem's thought of making Chizkiah Mashiach had, so to speak, the door slammed on it. So the mem is closed to allude to that idea that Hashem's plan got closed. It didn't happen. Lashon Acher, another way of saying it, another interpretation. Lechach nistam, for the following reason, it's closed. Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu listom tzartem shi Yisrael, shebikesh lasoto Mashiach. Hashem wanted to close, to end the troubles of the Jewish people and make Chizkiah Mashiach. So according to the second interpretation, the word the mem is closed to allude to the good thing that was supposed to happen. According to the first interpretation, it's closed to allude to the bad thing that happened, that Hashem's plan did not come to fruition. And a third interpretation, Umori Amar, my teacher, Rashi says, my teacher said, because Chizkiah's mouth was closed and he didn't sing Shira, therefore the mem is closed. So three interpretations of how the closed mem alludes to the events described in our Gemara. The Gemara continues, back on page Kofiod, in the fourth line. Miyad patcha ha'aretz v'amra lefanav. The earth opened up its mouth and said, we don't usually think of the earth having its mouth. Common interpretation would be the angel of the earth said, or maybe when you're talking to Hashem, the earth can talk also, even if it doesn't need a mouth because Hashem doesn't have ears, so it doesn't need a mouth to talk to him. In some way, the earth or the angel of the earth said, Ribono shel Olam, master of the world, ani omeret lefanecha shira tachat tzadik zev aseu mashiach. I will sing shira in place of that tzadik, in place of Chizkiah, who did not sing shira. I will sing shira and go ahead with your plan and make Chizkiah Mashiach. Another question to be asked, how is, if Chizkiah is faulted for not singing shira, then how is the earth singing a substitute for Chizkiah singing? And indeed, the earth started to sing Shira. Shinemar, as it says in Yeshaya Chavdala Tetzayin, Miknaf ha'aretz mirat shamanu. From the edge of the earth, we have heard songs. Tzvi latzadik. See, the art scroll translates, glory for the righteous. But in our context, The word Svi is actually Aramaic, and it means the will of. If you know, at a wedding, you write Ksuba. Ksuba is in Aramaic. It says, Utsvi chatan denan. Our chasan Tzvi. It doesn't mean the chasan's name is Tzvi. It means the chasan wanted. So here, Tzvi la tzadik would mean do the will of the tzadik. In other words, the earth sang, and it said, do the will of the tzadik, meaning which would be either Hashem or Chizkiah. Make Chizkiah Mashiach, because I sang. Mara continues, Amar sar ha'olam b'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. The officer of the world, the Hashem's, so does Hashem has, among the angels, Hashem has a prime minister, so to speak. And he said, Ribono shel Olam, asei tzivyono shel tzadik zeh. Do the will of this tzaddik. Yetzta bat kol v'amra. And then a bat kol came out and said, Razi li, razi li. The entire pasuk in Yeshaya is Miknaf ha'aretz mirat shamanu tzvila tzadik. From the edge of the earth we have heard songs, glory for the righteous. Razi li, razi li. But I say, my lot is to waste away. My lot is to waste away. Oili, woe is me. Bogdim bagadu uveged bogdim bagadu. The treacherous have dealt with treachery. With the treachery of the treacherous have they dealt treacherously. That's the literal translation of the pasuk in Yeshaya. So Gemara darshans that the next part of the pasuk, razi li, which notwithstanding the art school translation, literally means my secret is mine, my secret is mine, is a heavenly voice responding and saying, Hashem is responding to the Sar HaOlam, who said, do the will of the tzaddik. Hashem responds, I have my secrets. Mashiach's not coming now, and I have my reasons. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach, and then Hashem says, actually, I have my secrets, and I know why he's not coming now. That also requires some explanation. Did Hashem change his mind? Or this means Hashem wanted Chizkiah to be Mashiach, but Hashem knew all along it wasn't going to happen? Obviously, Hashem knows all along. So, also needs to be discussed. Amar Navi, then the Navi says, continuing the pasuk, Oili, woe is me. Oili, ad matai. How long will this go on? Yetzta bat kol v'amra, turning the page, bat kol came out and said, Bogdim bagadu veged bogdim bagadu. The treacherous have acted, have dealt with treachery. With the treachery of the treacherous have they dealt treacherously. It's a lot of treachery there. Bama Rava, and Rava explains, Vitema Rav Yitzchak, and if you want, you could say it was Rav Yitzchak, Ad da'atu bazoze uvazoze devazoze. Until the Jewish people will be dealt with treacherously by the nations many times. Mashiach's not going to come until there's been lots and lots of treachery against the Jewish people. The good news is it's happened. There's been lots of treachery, so maybe we're closer. Maybe. We are closer, because since he didn't come yesterday, we're at least one day closer. Who was Chizkiah, and what were all these miracles that he should have sang Shira for? First of all, Pasuk that's quoted, L'marbeh ha-mishra l'shalom en keitz, upon the one with greatness and dominion and boundless peace, Pasuk in Yeshaya. And it's a prophecy said before Chizkiah was born. Chizkiah's father, King Ahaz, was a very wicked man, an idolater. We have to clarify that, as we will also learn later in the Gemara, much later, the standards of wickedness in those days were different. They could have been very, very righteous people, but they were idolaters because they had a Yetzirah that we don't have. To us, the idea of going and bowing down to an idol is ludicrous. We wouldn't even think of it because when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, Anshei Knesset Gedola Davin, Gemara in Yoma describes, Anshei Knesset Gedola Davin, to have the Yetzirah for idolatry destroyed. And so it disappeared. And that's, some explain, that's why prophecy ended as well, because the world has to be balanced between forces of good and forces of bad in order to maintain our free will. So Hashem took away idolatry and he took away prophecy. Chizkiah's father, Ahaz, was an idolater. And one of the worst of, as far as kings of Yehuda go. And when he died, as an atonement, Chizkiyahu dragged his body, his father's body, through the streets. That was the funeral he gave him, to drag his body through the streets as an atonement. Okay. Before Chizkiyahu was born, the prophet prophesied, Ki yelad yulad lanu, a child will be born to us. Bein nitan lanu, a son will be given to us. Vatiya misra al shichmo, dominion will be on his shoulders. Pela yo'etz, a wondrous advisor. Kel givor, mighty God. Aviad sar shalom, eternal father, called his name Sar Shalom. Now, if that pasuk sounds awful lot like something a missionary would say, it is. And because of that, the Mefarshim, even in Rashi's time already, they were dealing with missionaries quoting this pasuk. And so Rashi takes pains to point out that this pasuk is talking about Hashem. So you read it like this. Yelad yulad lanu, a child will be born to us. That is, the prophet is saying a child will be born into the Jewish people. Bein nitan lanu, a son will be given to us. Vatihem Yisrael shichmo, dominion will be on his shoulder. Vayikra shemo, and he, Hashem, called his name. Pela yo'etz, Hashem, who is the wondrous advisor. Kel gibor, Hashem, who is the mighty God. Aviad, Hashem, who is the father forever, called the name of this child Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And it's a prophecy about Chizkiyah. All of these phrases are not part of what Hashem called the child. They are descriptions of Hashem, and Hashem called Chizkiyah the Prince of Peace. And the reason Chizkiyah is called the Prince of Peace is because in his time there was peace. We will learn from the Psukim in Malachim. Quick overview of the life of Chizkiyah. Malachim Beis, starting chapter 18, says, Bishnat Shalosh Loshea ben Ela Melech Yisrael, in the third year of Ela, the king of Israel, the king of the 10 northern tribes, Malach Chizkiyah ben Achaz Melech Yehuda. That's when Chizkiyah the son of Achaz, became king of Yehuda. He was 25 years old, the pasuk continues, and he ruled for 29 years, and his mother's name was Avi Bat Zechariah. That's standard formula for all of Sefer Malachim. It tells you in the year so and so of the king of Yehuda, X became king of Israel. He ruled for so many years. In so many years of the king of Israel, so and so became king of Yehuda. He ruled for so many years, and his mother's name was such and such. That's how this entire Sefer is organized. So it gives you the two parallel histories that are in these two green sections on the bottom of this exhibit, as lawyer will call it. Then it says, "Vayasa Yashar b'nei Hashem kechol asher asa David aviv." He, Chizkiyah, did what was right in the eyes of Hashem, like his father David, his ancestor David. Hu esirat abamot, he removed the private altars. V'shibar tamatzevot, he broke the altars to idolatry. V'charat tashirai, cut down the trees that people worship. V'kitat nechash nechoshet asher asa Moshe, and he broke the serpent of bronze or copper that Moshe had made in Parshat Chukas, where they had the people were being bitten by snakes, and Hashem told Moshe to make, and Moshe made the copper serpent. The people looked at it and were healed, and it's the symbol of the American Medical Association, something like that. But Chizkiyahu destroyed it because it. It had become an idol, and people were praying to it, so Chizkiyahu destroyed it. V'Hashem Elokei Yisrael batach, he trusted in Hashem, the God of Israel. V'charav lo yakamo b'chol malchei Yehuda v'asher yu lefanav. There was no king like him afterwards, nor before him, the Farshim say, except for David and Shlomo. So he is considered, other than David and Shlomo, was the most righteous king of Yehuda. Vayidbak v'Hashem, he attached himself to Hashem, lo sar mecharav, he did not turn away from Hashem. Vayishmor mitzvotav asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, he guarded the mitzvot that Hashem had commanded Moshe. Vaya Hashem imo, Hashem was with him. V'chol asher yetze yaskil, everything he went out to do, he succeeded. Vayimrod b'melech Ashur v'lo avado, he rebelled against the king of Ashur and did not serve him. In this period, the king of Ashur was repeatedly invading Eretz Yisrael, and actually succeeded in exiling the 10 northern tribes, as we discussed. But Chizkiah did not serve the king of Ashur. He also fought the Plishtim and secured the borders. In the fourth year of King Chizkiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea ben Ela, the king of Israel, Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur, attacked Shomron and besieged it. And the Pesukim continue. He conquered it. And Vayagel Melech Ashur Yisrael Ashura, he exiled Israel to Ashur. And it describes places where he went. And the Pasuk says it's because the northern kingdom did not follow the ways of Hashem. They transgressed his covenant. And that is the famous exile of the 10 northern tribes. We will have to continue the story of Chizkiah tomorrow. Have a good day.